Fair play, Pingu. We just put all the screens up there. That's the way to start. It's season two back with a bang. Fair play, Pingu. All the way from Chicago. Messed that one up horribly wrong. But it's live, so there's no going back. Fair play. Everybody, you're very welcome to episode one of season two of the Town End podcast. Joining me tonight is, of course, Pingu with his finger on the buttons. Pingu, how are you?
Sweating.
Danny. And Dono, hopefully Steph will be along the way. But look, there's four of us here. Pre-season, lads, not a bad turnout anyway. Well, we start the bleep test in a minute. We'll see how everyone is.
It definitely will be a bleep test. Fingers on all the buttons.
I don't know what I'm just looking to see if my Wi-Fi goes out.
I was going to say, yeah. Fingers Wi-Fi is in mid-season form already. Like, this is
yeah. Bash all the sponsors out. Bash all the sponsors out at once. I love it. Come here. There's no point in that in being all professional now after a full season of messing it up, lads. So fair play to us. Look, just I suppose a little bit of housekeeping from ourselves. We're just going to touch base on probably some of the signings, how we look to be shaping up for the season ahead. Of course, we have our special guest tonight as well. We'll get to that in a second. Just before we get a ton of messages in from everyone looking for their Tony's Pizza, there is no pizza competition tonight. We're not looking for the best signing so far or something. And if they agree with us, they get a pizza. So that won't be happening tonight. Just put that out there from the start. Let's just, before we bring Gav in, I suppose, a little bit from yourselves, what way do we think we're shaping up so far? Pingu.
Yeah, I think it's been quite, you know, you've seen people online and they've been saying it's good to see fresh blood from within the league coming. You know, we've all obviously seen that a lot of clubs have done their business earlier. We're a little bit later doing it, so some of the better players are obviously stuck at other clubs. But I think, you know, stability is going to be the big thing this year. I think that's going to be the big comment that we'll be making. And I think when you look at the signings that have been made for the club, I think they're definitely stabilising things compared to the rocky road we were on last year, you know. So, look, we were joking before we came on air, and I'll take a boring podcast season over the batshit season we had last year. So, when we look at those signings, I mean, you know, like, again, people have said they're not as excited, like you see it on forums and stuff like that. They're not excited with some of the signings maybe that we've got from Pats, but people forget Pats finished second in the league. You know what I mean? And they won the cup. So any players we're getting from there, even if we're getting them back, they used to play with Dundalk, you have to say they're winners, you know, just like we've been trying to get for the last couple of years. So yeah, overall, I'm happy. I'm very happy. And I'm excited with some of the names that's rumoured to be coming in still. And hopefully Gav might break a bit of news for us today. No pressure on him there backstage.
As Gav scrambles around looking for an exclusive, yeah. Donald, your thoughts on the squad assembled so far?
Yeah, well, I think what Pinky was saying there about the stability, I think that's obviously the main focus going into the season, because we've had a couple of seasons now of unfocused signings and questionable pickups and stuff. So I think if you look at like the 11 that we could put out with the squad that we have at the minute, it's a really, really solid and capable first 11 that we can put together with what we have already. And that's not including any of the new signings that are like the players that we haven't had playing for us before. If we could fit an 11 of players that we've had before and have, like, we know what we're going to get from them, and we have a really solid 11. So I think that's a great place to start. I think there's a lot to be said, like we said there, about getting players from within the league that we already know. We're trying to corner the market of Kilkenny rather than South Korea by bringing in players from Kilkenny. They don't have a team there, so, you know, we could really break yeah, into whatever sports stuff they have in Kilkenny and get a little corner and get our gear in there. But yeah, no, it's the excitement of all of it is the major thing. I'm absolutely exhausted from transfer windows. I hate transfer windows. Every single day in the transfer window is annoying. Somebody's coming, somebody's not coming, somebody's leaving, somebody's rubbish, somebody's brilliant. All this, just, it's just relentless. I can't wait for the season to start and we can just watch a game and have a really incredibly boring podcast after it.
Yeah, that's been a dream of, you know, 50 odd podcasts later, and we still haven't had one. Gally, look, it's great having a bit of stability, isn't it? This year, when compared to last year, it looked like a smash and grab maybe of signings closer to this season starting. So to have a little more focus on the type of player that we're getting in is nice, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think like hindsight's great. At this time last year, there was a small bit of buzz because these lads were coming in from, you know, different nationalities, different backgrounds. But when you can get a team like that together now that we have, and I'm just going through the list, you've got about seven or eight league winning players already in the squad. You know, they've won the league in the past, mixed with some of the younger players. You know, it might not be, like Pinky was saying, we were a wee bit late getting in, but I don't think we've missed out on any major players. I don't think somebody's gotten one over us. I'm trying hard to think of anybody that could have signed for us. I don't really see anybody. Like, I mean, we talked last season, most of the season, that we didn't replace Robbie Benson. Like, the only person that replaced Robbie Benson is Robbie Benson. And we've sorted it. And look, you know, it's like the likes of Keith Ward coming back, it's his third spell at the club. You know, keeping Peter Cherry. We didn't know what to do with the goalkeepers last year. We're now keeping Peter Cherry for next season, which is great. He's in a great form, at the end of the season. You know, probably the most exciting thing has been the 12 days, the countdown. Twitter went absolutely mental for Gavin's 12 days of Christmas. So 8 o'clock in the morning, those texts going out, what day is it, what day are we on? And, but that's what you wanted. That's the buzz we're looking for. And that's what we didn't have last season. It was just random announces. Probably midnight, Gavin was probably up saying, announcing players at 3 o'clock in the morning. It was very controversial. But, no, look, I think it's steadily, it's a solid team. You know, people, characters like Brian Garth have been kept on. They're like new signings. Pat Hogan, that's like a new signing because we thought we were going to lose these players. And whereas we did last year with the likes of Dane Massey, Sean Hall, you know, that type of thing. So I think it's a solid foundation. I think, you know, there might be one or two more quality footballers to come in. We don't know, but you know what? More than happy with what we have at the minute. I mean, there's a couple of questions about maybe injuries of one or two players like Sloggett, you know, but I'm more than happy with what Stephen has done so far since he came in. It's like between the staff and the players, very solid staff.
Yeah. Look, we'll probably go in depth into looking at each of the players who we've signed so far after this, but I think we'll have to take this opportunity to bring in our guest tonight. So look, our guest is Gavin McLaughlin, I suppose the media guru Gavin in Oriel Park. I can't say even handled you over a mantle on that. I think you completely took that all by yourself. So I'll not take any credit for anything. But Gavin, how crazy it's been in the short time you've been in Oriel Park. This must be the nicest time ever, is it?
Yeah, it's been a different start to the year than it was last year. I had a laugh at Gally thinking, you know, I was issuing press releases at 3 a.m. A three in the morning our time, Gally, at 6 o'clock in South Korea. So there was a market there that we had to tap into last year. So, you know, but yeah,
no, Gally's hitting the Matthews coach's commute in Korea.
It's the lads have only been back in pre-season since Monday, but already it's been a really one of the most enjoyable weeks I've had since a long time with the club. So look, I'm the same as everybody else. I'm just really excited. There's a real buzz about the place. You know, the squad's starting to come together nicely now, and I can't wait to see them on the pitch. Can't wait to see the friendlies. There's friendlies coming up in 2 or 3 weeks, and I can't wait for the league to start. You know, that game against Derry in the opening night of the season, we've seen the difference the crowd makes at Oriel, and with the sort of buzz and the momentum around the club at the minute, that could be a special night. And I'd imagine if please God, if we're allowed to get the full crowd in and full capacity, I'm sure Derry will bring a couple of thousand down as well. So it could be a hell of a night to start the season. But it's been a quiet start to the year, and I hope that the year continues like that.
Yeah, how we would have loved a quiet period over the last 18 months, Gavin. If we even go, I suppose, taking away even the Dundalk sport and stuff that you'd done previous to your role coming into Dundalk Football Club, but literally just as you pretty much pick up your dream job, the biggest crisis the world has ever seen, nearly since probably, you know, world wars, and that suddenly hits. And it's like the pandemic, you couldn't write it. It was horrible timing for yourself to try to settle into a role and get to know it all. And then there's restrictions all over the place. It must have just been pandemonium for you.
It was tough for everybody, Chris. The toughest part, I think, was coming back from it after the lockdown and coming back to games with no crowds and just a weird, completely weird atmosphere. And I'm lucky in one sense in that I never missed any games during the whole pandemic. You know, I was lucky enough to be in all of our games throughout that when people couldn't get in. But it's just so weird. It didn't feel once the novelty wore off after a couple of months, then you begin to think, you know, are we ever going to get back to normal stuff? And it just happened. It was a bad time. I think that's when things started to unravel a bit at the club around the summer of 2020. We obviously lost Harry, and that left a huge shadow over the place. And then when we come back, I think Harry died a week before, a couple of days before the football resumed. I remember we played Pats there at Oriel, and a couple of days after his funeral, it was just surreal, you know. And I think it took a lot of it of everybody at the club, and we never sort of really recovered from that. And then going into this, the start of 2021, it just sort of nosedived even more. So look, it's been a tough 18 months. It's been a tough 18 months, 24 months for everybody around the world. But when you look at the football club, turbulent is an understatement. But I think the important thing is now to just forget about it. It's done. There's no point going back over it. If you're going to go back over, I'd need a couch and somebody to hold my hand for about a year for to go through it all again. But I think the important thing is just to get on with it now. And I think the outcome of with the ownership is what the majority of people wanted. Towards the end of the season, we wanted it back in local hands. We wanted it in the hands of people who we know will run the club, and the club's best interest will be at the forefront of their minds and the decisions they make. And I think if you had to ask people who would they like guiding the team, or who would they like at the centre of the project, if you had told us it'd be Stephen O'Donnell, I think we would have ripped both hands off. So I think we're in a good place going into this year. It's going to be difficult. I think there's a great optimism and great sort of mood around the place, but we need patience. I don't like using the word rebuild, because, you know, there's a lot of good sort of elements still at the club. And we've obviously got the likes of Andy, who's been there before, Martin's back, the only people that know the club, Colin Murphy, Simon Blackmore, Stevie knows the club inside out. So it's not a rebuild, but it's a reboot, and it is going to take a bit of time. And we've all been spoiled rotten over the last decade or so. And I just think we just need to get behind everybody and know that there is going to be a couple of bumps along the way. But the end goal, if we all get there, and we've seen it before once when Stephen Kenny came, when we got there, it was all together, and the rewards and the celebrations that follow, we're all a part of. We all felt a part of it. So it will be tough. It's going to be a tough season. There's some, you look at Rovers, you look at Derry, you look at even the likes of Sligo, they're more established, more settled. But from seeing Stevie firsthand before Christmas and even over the last week, and seeing Padge and Dave Mackey and his coaching staff, you know, we'll put out a decent team this year, and it'll be exciting to watch us, you know, but there will be bumps along the way, and that's what people just need to have a bit of patience with the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, even from your own point of view, though, Gavin, like, so exactly what you just said, we all wanted this return back to local ownership as well. And can you see the difference that's making on a day-to-day level? That there's probably face-to-face, you can probably ask a question now that probably was an email trail. And unfortunately, that's the way when you have to, you know, wait for a go-ahead probably in Chicago for certain things to happen, and then you have time zones. It was probably far from ideal in that sense.
Yeah, look, I think anybody who follows me on Twitter probably seen my frustration got the better of me towards the end of the season it was very disheartening for me as somebody from the town and as a supporter, and, you know, seeing all those good people and they it's a buzzword in football, but the culture that was around the club on and off the field sort of being dismantled over 18 months. You know, I go back like, you think we've been in Europa League twice in 5 years. There's clubs in the Premiership haven't even been in the Europa League. You know, we've got expertise. The likes of Colin Murphy, for example. Colin Murphy's been part of a club that's been in the Europa League. You can't buy that sort of expertise or that sort of knowledge. And that's there on our doorstep. So to see the likes of when Colin sort of left and then when Martin left, it was Colin and Martin who brought me to the club at the end of 2019. They were the ones who I sat down with and said, look, there's a position there. We think you'd be good for it. So, like, when you see people like that leave the club and people coming in who you just know that Dundalk FC, their best interest is not the club. It's probably to further their own career and see what they can get out of it. And to me, that's what it's always been about. It's what decision, if a decision is made, it should be for the best of Dundalk Football Club, because if Dundalk Football Club's doing well, we're all doing well. Everybody in this town does well. So I think having Andy and Martin and Sean and Alan from Stat Sports, I was lucky enough that I went to school with Sean, so I know Sean, and he's very, very impressive. Comes from a great family. He was an excellent footballer himself. Yeah. Anybody who knows Balorgan United would know his dad, Michael, who passed away a couple of years ago, sort of built that club. So Sean's a great lad. Clarkey, I think most people in the town would know Clarkey from the music scene or from the sports.
Take your pick of whatever.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, we are in good hands. And I think there's things, like if you think back to last year, that the statement about the flares that went out, you know, I don't think you'd see a statement like that coming from the club now. Mm-hmm. It was more of a, I was disappointed because I felt it was more of a threat to our supporters, whereas we're all supporters. It's all club. Why are we sort of putting out things like that? I think there was a meeting with supporters last year during the summer, which didn't go down well. I don't think you get things like that now going forward. So, yeah, from my point of view, it just feels like there's voices of reason there, and there's voices. They'll take my opinion into account, which is great. And I think we all want the same thing. We all just want a successful club, a successful town, because as I keep saying it, if the club's doing well, everybody's doing well. If the Dundalk FC's winning games and playing good football, we're all walking with a smile on our face. Yeah. That means, you know, what more can you ask for?
Exactly. From your own point of view, Gavin, would you say that, you know, probably the last 2 years, like, you've been on a roller coaster of some of the best games that Dundalk FC has ever been involved in? I'm thinking a closed door FAI Cup final win over Shamrock Rovers, like, in extra time. That must have just been on, because I've been in the corner with you and in the stands with you for FAI Cup finals, and come here, we've left at different exits quickly or slowly depending on the result a few times, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, penalty shootouts to get us, you know, into the Europa League. You've really, for the games you've got to over the past while, it's just been unbelievable.
Yeah, look at it. As I say, I'm lucky I didn't miss any of them. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to be there. But, and I'm conscious of saying this because you sound like you're nearly saying, well, I'm great that I was there. But I know it sounds wrong, but there was occasions where it just didn't feel like it was a proper occasion. The obvious one is the Arsenal game in the Emirates, because, you know,
it would have been some atmosphere.
This sounds like people say, well, what sort of a prick is he? But, like, when you've seen one empty stadium, they all nearly look the same when they're empty, if you know what I mean. Like, the Emirates is fantastic. It's unbelievable. But we were at the Aviva for the KI game in the playoff, and it was empty. And then once they're empty, they just look the same nearly as everywhere else. And when we went to the Emirates, Arsenal, I have to say, were credit to deal with. They're unbelievable. The people over there were fantastic. But what they do for every away team is to hang a flag in the away section just where the fans would be. And the night before, when the lads trained there was a Dundalk flag hanging in the end where all fans would have been. And obviously, there would have been God knows how many. You think back to Alkmaar in 16, like, God knows how many would have been at the Emirates, you know, for the Arsenal game. And I remember just walking over and thinking, like, it's sad, because just imagine that occasion, all of us in the Emirates, you know, watching the team at that. And there's even sort of a tinge of regret and think, yeah, it's great to be here, but it could be more. And it was the same with the Cup final. Cup final was unbelievable. I have to say, it was one of the coldest days in history. So when I went to extra time and stuff, my phone died and all, and there was nowhere to plug in the laptop. It was Baltic. And I felt so sorry for the lads, because when they went up and got the trophy, to come down and got the picture at the end. And then after that, it was like, well, what do we do? You know, there's somebody looking around, and there's no fans. There's nobody to celebrate.
No Mike Tracy run around the pitch.
Exactly, no Mike Tracy. There's no flares. There's nothing. It's just a couple of pictures, and then it was back into the dressing room. And then even when we came back into town, it was unbelievable. The best thing for me for the cup final was when we came back to Dundalk. It was about 5 to 12 at night. It was Baltic. Everybody knows it was freezing.
And yeah, it's freezing.
Drove through the square. Yeah, yeah, we drove through, and there was loads of people at the square. Like at that time, even though the players couldn't get off the bus or couldn't even, you know, they couldn't do anything. But to see that reaction, and I remember Filippo especially was really sort of, I think it sort of, the penny dropped, right, this is a big, big club, you know. And I feel sorry for the likes of him who never got to see the shed and to see the way it was towards the end of last season. Because, you know, Dundalk's a different animal when we've the fans in behind us. And again, the cup final that day, beating Rovers, Davy Max scoring a hat-trick. Imagine 10,000-12,000 of us in the Aviva. It would have been it would have been unbelievable. But 100. Yeah, look, great memories, but they won't, unfortunately, there was nobody really there to share them with us, you know.
Which is
something I think we'll always regret, you know.
Yeah, I suppose, Gavin, just looking at our current situation where we are. I mean, you've got to see the lads in pre-season, and they're over the weekend. I presume it was the usual obligatory bleep test and that on day one. I mean, probably the atmosphere even among some of those players and everything else, it's probably a world of a difference too.
Yeah, well, I could see that even before Christmas when the lads who were signing contracts, when they come in for the pictures and the interviews and stuff, there's just a complete different feel to it, you know. I think if you had said to someone back in September, October, look, you're going to be back here before Christmas signing a contract, I don't think you would have seen a smile on their face. But genuinely every one of them come in before Christmas, and there's just a feeling of, right, this is for the likes of Darrell Lee and Greg Sloggin and stuff like that. I think they're beginning to think, right, this could be the Dundalk that I expected to join a couple of years ago. It's been a rough sort of couple of years, but there's definitely a feeling of optimism. And yeah, training this week, there was the bleep test on Monday, which I stood well away from, and even looking at it, I didn't feel good. But there wasn't, in fairness, you know yourself, they all come back in good nick these days. There's not as much, it's not like it was 20 years ago where boys are coming back to run off a couple of stone. They're all coming back in good nick, and there's a proper buzz around the place. Squad's starting to take shape, and as I say, just once these next couple of weeks are out of the way and the friendlies start coming, then I think we'll all get a proper real sense of, you know, can't wait for it to start.
Gav, not to dwell on last year, or it's just something I was thinking when you were talking. If
here we go again, Gav, settling.
From your own point of view, like even the staff, or the Ailish, stuff like that. I don't want you speaking for anybody else, but is there a different kind of attitude from everybody now with this takeover? Like, was last year just like I know fans were just mentally drained last year. Like, you know, social media and everybody just, you know, it's COVID, it wasn't easy. But was it a place that you just, you know, oh God, I have to go in here again today? I knew, would you think this, all the staff now, okay, right, we're back on it. It's a different, just a different mental attitude for 2022.
Yeah, I don't want to speak for everybody, Gally, but yeah. I think there is. You think there's definitely a feeling that, you know, we're sort of glad that the outcome is the outcome that's happened, and the people that are involved are the people that's involved. Because I know myself, towards September, October last year, I was thinking, I don't want to be a part of this. And I don't mean to come across in it. What way do I say it? Like, if somebody like me who's doing a job I absolutely love, at a club that I absolutely love, is thinking to themselves, you know what, I'd be better off getting the hell out of here and forgetting about this whole thing, then that doesn't sound good. Because I think the people who are working at the club all really love the club, and we all go out of our way to do, you know, more than, like, I don't count hours that I work, things like that. To me, it's the old phrase, labour, love. I love doing what I'm doing. But last season, I was thinking to myself at times, what are we doing here? Like, you know, is there any sense in being a part of this? And do you know what I mean? Is there any sense in being a part of something? I don't feel a part of it. I don't like what it sort of represents. It's, do you know what I mean? If it was working in a multinational or a bank or something, you can go home at the end of the day and say, right, job's done, talk out. But you care about what's happening. And I know every one of us, we all take a lot of pride in what we do up there. So once you see the sort of club's name being dragged through the mud, yeah, and the reputation of the club, and at times it was a laughing stock, you know what I mean? And, you know, it's been good in a way because of laying things right. There's certain things you just don't do. And in fairness, we've probably done them all over the last 18 months. So, do you know what I mean? I think I should have a master's in crisis management now, after what's after been happening. But yeah, there was definitely times where it was like, what am, you know, surely I'm better off somewhere else. Do you know what I mean? And look, I'm 40, I've got 3 kids. I live locally. It's only up the road. I can pick up my kids at lunchtime and drop them to school. But I was even thinking, like, do I need to go to Dublin just to get away? Do you know, do I need to get away from this completely? And social media, like, at this stage, you know, I'm immune to it. You know what I mean? But for 6-7 months, you're just thinking to yourself, oh, God, like, you know, once you're reading negative comments 24/7, it gets you down. And as I say, if you're doing that on behalf of something you don't love, or a company you're just taking a wage from, fair enough. But when it's something you're thinking, you know, I don't like seeing what's happening here. Yeah, there was times I was thinking, right, this is, the game's over. So I decided to stick it out till the end of the season and hope that something would happen. And thankfully it did. So all systems go now. And I think, yeah, I'm speaking for myself, I definitely have fresh enthusiasm for the year and the job ahead. So, and I think most people up there would say the same now, which is a good thing.
Yeah. No, there's definitely different boys. You can tell even just or even talking to people. Like we said it before, that, you know, we meet people in the street, and not that we're celebrities, right? But you'd see people out, you'd recognize them. It's hard to tell behind the mask, but there's just a different atmosphere. And usually I get, like, over the Super Value, whatever it is, people will be like, oh, what are you going to talk about tonight? Another shit show. And it's not like that anymore. It's like you say, there's a different outlook for everybody. Now, we're not overly optimistic. It's just a different kind of pedigree now we're going to be dealing with for the next couple of months. And yeah, no, it's just interesting to get, because I'm sure working there, and like, I'm sure you never switched off. Even when you were, like you say, even when you were home, it wasn't a 9-to-5. I'm sure your head was just slaughtered the whole time. And I'd say it was absolute torture.
The worst thing is, Gally, is towards the end of the season, you probably just start losing a bit of interest. And,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I look back, and there was things I was doing probably at the start of last year that I just sort of thought, well, what's the point in doing this? You know what I mean? Like, who wants to listen to a club podcast with, you know, so-and-so when I'm not really arse doing it? You know what I mean? And if I'm thinking to myself, if I can't be arse doing it, then, you know, the fans aren't going to be arse listening to it either. So there's definitely a sense of, it's like a renewed optimism. But as I said at the start, look, it's not all going to be, well, you know, there's going to be bumps along the way, but I don't think we mind that. And if you're a Dundalk fan, it's not all about win the league. Like, you know, up until the last decade where we've been absolutely spoiled rotten, there's been more sort of turmoil at the club over the last 120, 30 years than success. But it's the feeling that you're a part of it. It's the feeling that we're all together and we're all in it as one. And I always go back to 2016. I think we all go back to 2016. I remember being in a taxi in Warsaw the day of the game, the Champions League playoff, driving up to the ground. And I remember thinking to myself, like, Jesus, we're from a town of 30,000 people. And like, we're here for a Champions League playoff against a team that's, you know, that's just mental when you think about it. But like, we've done that, and we've consistently done that over the years. You think of Jim McLaughlin's team in the 70s, you know, even go back to the 60s. We've constantly done that. And I think that's what we need to go back to. We need to go back to, right, what's our identity? What do we stand for? This sort of talk of being a European club based in Ireland and stuff and selling jerseys in South Korea, like, go back 5 years ago, our goal should be every child and kid in this town, in Fatima, Cox's, Heathmore, Blackrock, Green Acres, everyone. They're the ones that should be wearing our jerseys. Every kid in this town, back to that, where, like it was 5 years ago, you'd see everybody wearing the dogs. So forget about South Korea and all these places, be relevant on our own doorstep, because that's what we are. That's what, when we go abroad, it's us, it's Dundalk. It's not a team made up of 11 internationals from all around the world. It's our club, a club that's been based in this town for 130 years. So that's what we need to get back to. And I think that's the aim, to get back to that, to make sure that, right, we represent our town, we represent our people, we represent our community. And if we're lucky enough to go around Europe and stuff like that, it's our club, our town, our community that goes around Europe, not some fantasy, you know, corporate football club that, you know what I mean, somebody thinks they can make this out of. That's what it should be. And I think that's definitely it's definitely the mood among the owners. It's definitely the mood among the staff. I think it's definitely the mood among, you've heard Stevie in his interview, like, he gets more than anybody what it means to be a part of the town and the crowd behind us. So, look, there will be bumps along the way, but I think people will be patient if we all feel that, you know, we're all a part of it together, which I think that's, we definitely will feel like we're all a part of it together this year.
Yeah. Chris, I think you found a snippet for the advertising there. That little bit there, Gav was talking. Found a snippet for next week. Just to advertise the show tonight. But that's exactly it. You've hit the nail on the head. Like, I know there probably wasn't bigger whingers in the dark than us last year on this podcast. Like, we went off and, like, there was times we didn't, like,
it was mostly Steph, though, to be fair.
And the boys might admit, but we probably turned up late on purpose because you didn't want to talk. Like, it was just the same stuff week in, week out. Like, some of the stuff, like, some of the comments we couldn't put up. Like, we'd be on it. Like, it was crazy, you know. But, yeah, it's different. Like, that's what I was looking forward to getting you on, because we had talked about getting you on last year. Like, he probably should have said, there's no way he's going to want to come on here and talk about this.
The way Donal has a casual whiskey there, but like, you come on with the full shakes and everything, Gavin, we thought it'd just be...
I said that to Chris the other day. If you had got me on last October, you would have got an Oprah Winfrey style.
Mellow, jumping on couches. You
know? Yeah, exactly. So I'm a bit more mellow now, thankfully. But look, I used to throw your podcast on the way home from some of the games, and I'd just be driving down the M50, just shaking the head, thinking, "Wow, where?"
Them boys know nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Thinking to myself, I'll pull over here and make a comment.
Yeah. And then delete. Don't get involved, Gavin.
Yeah. Take a breath. Go for a walk.
Come here, Gav. I saw, obviously, this week the club announced that Burnsy is staying on the coaching ticket for the first team this year. He came in, obviously, under Vinny halfway through last year. How big of an influence did he have on getting us through that second half of the season last year? And is that, from what you've seen, obviously you're not Stevie O'Donnell, but is that one of the reasons why he's staying on the coaching ticket this year?
Stevie obviously knows Burnsy from when they played together at Bowes, and they used to actually live together, so, you know, they know each other really, really, really well. And I think with Stevie surrounded himself with really sort of good people. Padge is really impressive on the training ground from what I've seen, and the players have already, you know, speaking really highly. Dave Mackey, first team manager, really, really, really nice fella, gets the club, won a league medal here before. You know, knows an awful lot about the league and players and stuff like that, which, you know, again, and his experience, like, Padge and Stevie are young coaches, you know, so Dave's experience will definitely help them. And yeah, Burnsy's been helping out this week. He's, look, Pingu, everybody knows Burnsy's 100%, you know, a great lad to have your club. I think in terms of your community officer and things like that, you couldn't have a better person than Burnsy, because he's just got that warmth and that sort of sense of humour that, you know, you need. And when it comes to football, people, we sort of remember Burnsy as a player, but I'm sure there's younger people don't remember how good a player Liam Burns was. Liam Burns is one of the best centre-backs in this country for many years, won many, many, many league trophies and cups of bowls. So to have him even have that knowledge and have him mixed with his enthusiasm and his sort of mood and, you know, what he can do, especially last year when things were tough, when Burnsy walks in the room, everybody just ends up breaking their sides laughing, you know. He's just a great character to have around. But
yeah,
the other side of that is, go back to what he knows, his knowledge, and, you know, Stevie knows him inside out. So if Stevie wants him involved, then, you know, there's no better man to have as part of it. He's brilliant. He's brilliant in all aspects of what he does. But around the players especially, he just brings out that he's just a good, and I go back, that's what Stevie wants. He just wants good people around the club. And Liam Burns, top of the list when it comes to that category, you know.
I was just going to ask, I know we're not going to, we only keep going back over everything that happened before, but I got through a lot of whiskey last year and it cost a fair amount of money. And it's, I'm not blaming the club, certain people, but maybe, who can I talk to about getting like receipts and stuff to get money Peak back six. For last season? Because
send that invoice to Fort Lauderdale, Donald. Fort Lauderdale.
Okay,
it's a good job I didn't start. It's a good job I didn't start. The club went bankrupt. The club went bankrupt with the expenses of having started.
Just a quick one going back to Burnsy. Probably about a month and a half ago, we recorded a clip in Oriel Park for heading the game. So we got permission from Martin and the whole lot. So anyway, we've done the recording and we're standing outside and I have Ross and Zach with me. Two of my sons, like, and Burnsy comes out and sort of is a bit confused. What's going on here? You know, there's a few people on the pitch and there's cameras, and he was sort of confused. And I just said, "Oh, look, I've cleared it with Martin. Everything's grand." He was fine with it. He went back in. 2 minutes later, he came out with two like Dundalk bags for the two lads, and straight away I was just like, you know, that's like a touch of class, like, and. Yeah. You know, thinking of the young lads straight away, and it's sort of the family atmosphere or the environment that like the club wants, the whole town needs, you know, that sort of way. So straight away, a little thing like that just made the boys day, and, you know, just showed the top man that he is, like.
Yeah, like the thing with COVID as well, like it's affected our sort of community stuff, and like we can't go into schools and we can't, you know, we can't even, like, simple things, you can't have mascots at games and things like that. You know, it's tough, but like Burnsy does a lot of that stuff sort of, you know, it doesn't get the attention. Do you know what I mean? He's not in the spotlight. Like even there before Christmas, he's run the late night league there at Oriel every Thursday night, I think from between nine and 10 in the evening. You know, he's down in St. John of God before Christmas as well. Like he does so much sort of stuff that sort of doesn't get seen. And partly because of COVID, we haven't been able to do as much as what we have over the years. But yeah, no, he's a great lad to have at the club, and great lad from a community sense, and then even from a coaching. If he is, I don't know whether it's confirmed that he's going to be stick with the coaching throughout the year. But if he is, he did a great job when he came in to help Vinny towards the end of last season, and he's been helping it this week, and he's been brilliant. So you know, it's just great to have him. It's great to have somebody that came at the club, you know.
Yeah, I used to give Burnsy lift home from Belfast when I was working up there. It was the longest trip I've ever had. You know, you talk about his knowledge. Jesus, don't try to have an argument with him. Jesus, you'll never win, lads. It's the longest hour drive I ever had. Every Friday, bringing him back down. Two bags of Tesco in his arm. Because the prices were better in Belfast. Some crack with him. Gav, just going back to the current crop of players, I mean, is there any sign-ins or re-sign-ins that's really excited you for the season coming up?
I think the one I'm looking forward to seeing is Paul Doyle. I think he'll probably slip under the radar a little bit in terms of the boys are bringing in, but sort of from even speaking to players, you can sort of, he's a good, you know, he's come through UCD, he's a good sensible lad, but he wants to take the next step in his career. He knows that he's been at UCD, he's got four really good seasons there. He was the captain, got them promoted, he was in the team of the year last year. He now wants to take the next step, and he's definitely hungry. And I think Stevie, he's a left-footed central midfielder, which Stevie started sort of laughing when he said that. I was thinking, well, we've had a couple of them here before, so he's the one I'm looking forward to seeing, because again, I think John Martin, double figures of Waterford last year. He's come in, he's done really well this week. You know, Wardy, I think, as an option in a squad, especially at games at Oriel when you've, teams just parking banks of four on the edge of the 18 box. They have Key Ward in their team who can pick a pass like nobody else in this league. I think he's a great option and another great lad to have back at the club.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him, you know. But it's Paul Doyle. I'm really, really looking forward to the scene when the games get started. I think midfield, Benson, we obviously know what Benson and Mountney can do, but I have to say I'm really Paul Doyle would be the one I'd be looking out for now when the games start.
It's funny that you mention Wardy and just, you know, saying that he's a good lad to come around. I can't be the only one though that just looked at his signing photos with a big beam of smile, and you're smiling back at him. He's just one of them characters, isn't he? That you just bounce off it straight away, saying he's brilliant to have around.
And unfortunately, I was stuck in the office with him for an hour and a half because when he signed, he was supposed to be meeting Stevie with something. Stevie was in a meeting, so I was stuck in it for an hour and a half.
Babysitting, were you?
Yeah, the eardrums are just pummeling, you know.
There's nothing between the ears, isn't there?
No, he's just a great, but he's a great character. He's a great character, and it's funny because we got pictures of him wearing the three jerseys from 2011, 2013, and now the one this year, and he just. Even if you put up the pictures from 2011, he doesn't look like he's aged a bit, like, you know. But a great, great character, great lad to have around. And the noise levels have gone up something serious this week with him around the place. But again, they're the sort of people you need, you know. They're the sort of characters that, you know, the place is just bouncing. Whereas last year there was times it was like a morgue. There'd be nobody talking to each other, and people would be coming in. To go training and then to be straight home after. Whereas even this week, there's just, you know, a lot of interaction, a lot of crack, a lot of noise. So it's good to see, you know, good to see.
And from a club's perspective, Gav, are we expecting the third jersey announcement fairly soon, or? Come on, Gav, you can tell us roughly.
Yeah, no. The third kit, because of COVID and supply and things like that, it was supposed to come out before Christmas, but didn't arrive in time. So, yeah, I think there'll be news on that in the foreseeable future.
It's like having Jim back.
I picked up a couple of things, you know.
Yeah.
Due course.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we should have news on that in the next week or so, and we should have also some news in the next couple of days as well. So
that's as much as I can say. He just dropped that in there.
Yeah, that's as much. Or if I get a phone call now, a text. So there should be news in the next.
And Gav, would you expect more on pre-season matches fairly soon?
Sorry, Chris.
I said, would you expect word on pre-season matches and the schedule of that to kick off fairly soon?
Yeah. I think next week's week two, so it could be another fortnight, I think, before there'd be any games. And you have to remember, we're sort of starting late, so a lot of clubs would have had the pre-season plan. So I think it's a matter of seeing what there is and what games he can sort of get in. But I think the Malone Cup, I think, is definitely going to take place. As far as I know, it's due to take place at Oriel again this year. So that's one. And then I'd expect the first one will probably be away from home, but there's no confirmation of when or where. But again, I'd imagine we'll have news on that next week and probably the confirmation of all the games pre-season by next week.
And I suppose we all need to know where did the 12 days of Christmas, who come up with the idea, who gets the credit for that one?
Well, I won't be doing it in 2022, put it that way. Somebody else can do it if they want. I thought to myself, this is a good idea. There's, you know, when we announced the management team, I think it was the 11th of December. So I was thinking if we do something, if we keep the momentum going and sort of do something each day, coming up to Christmas, I think that we could create a bit of a buzz about it. But I think by day three there was no signings, and I was like, I'm not giving away any more jerseys.
No more freebies. So,
I was like, we need some signings. So then it started. I think one of the first days, I think that we had four or five at Oriel, you know.
Yeah,
my head was spinning. Do you know what I mean? But I think it worked well. It was a good idea.
Brilliant.
You know, we wanted stuff each day, and then even the bit after Christmas, you know, we found something in our stocking and all. Yeah. I think, you know, and the Wardy one. Yeah, it was the Wardy one. It was like we found somebody in our stocking. It was a bit of crack, and I think that's important. Like, you know, I don't even would have done that last year, to be honest. I can only imagine what would have happened if I had suggested that. But it's a bit of crack. It got us a bit of goodwill, and season tickets are going well, you know, not because of that, but because of the general sort of positive feeling around the place. So it was a good idea, but by day 9, I was beginning to think, why did I even start this, you know?
Why wasn't there only 5 days of Christmas?
Yeah, exactly. It might be the 12 days of November next year rather than the 12 days leading up to Christmas. But yeah, it seemed to go well. It was a bit of crack, you know? I think that's important, that we get a bit of... Football's, we all watch football. It's fun. It's meant to be, meant to be something you enjoy. I think we've had 18 months now of just being... you know, miserable and uptight and all those sort of words. So if you can have a bit of crack as well, then why not?
There's no 12 days of January then, is that what you're trying to tell me?
No. Jesus, no.
If it's a successful season, we'll only get 12 podcasts in 2022. We won't be able to get the 50 in that we got last year.
Less is more, new lads. Less is more. There's 60 podcasts this year, then, you know, something's happened.
There's no European run. That's shaved about 10 off at least.
That's it.
Look, Gav, you've been so good with your time. We don't want to hold you up anymore. Thanks so much for doing this for us. And look, we wish you all the best in the upcoming season, and to all the players and to Stevie and the management team there as well. So just pass on every positive note that we have tonight to them, because we're all looking forward to a far more prosperous season. On and off the field, really. I think that's the whole thing, exactly what you just said. I think if we all get a sense of pride back for this club, we don't need success in silverware necessarily, but if we knew we had a club back that we're all proud of, I think that would be, you know, that means a lot more than any silverware, I think, from us all. So look, Gavin, you've been so good with your time, like I said, so thanks so much, and best luck for the season.
Cheers, lads. Keep up the good
cheers,
work. Cheers,
Gavin. Thanks very much.
Thanks a million. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Everyone looks at me with something now.
Red lemonade. It is not red lemonade. Sorry.
It was just funny when Gav mentioned the season tickets. My folks bought me a season ticket for Christmas. And I don't know if this is an omen or not. I was only thinking about it yesterday. It's the first season ticket I've had. So I don't usually get them, but it's the first season ticket I've had since Sean Connor was the manager. So the last season ticket I had, it was Sean Connor taking over. It was that season. So I'm hoping that's not an indicator of what's to come. But unbelievable.
Harper Singh's coming back.
You couldn't make it up.
We'll find him finally.
Could that be? Look, I think if we have an opportunity, lads, we might with Steph here and that now as well, we might just have a look at some of the confirmed signings and that we currently have. If this comes up, well, hey, it has worked. So this is currently where we lie on confirmation of players that
six at the back is class.
Yeah, this isn't a formation, Gally. Steph, I suppose from your own point of view, we kind of had a quick chat about it as well. How does that squad look like? It's shaping up for you.
Yeah, look, it's looking good. There's some very talented players in there, players that we know from previous that have stayed on. Like Garland's a good addition at the back again. Hopefully he comes back to full fitness. Boyle, experience. Leahy was just starting to come into his own last year, and then like Benson's I think he's one of the most intelligent players we've had since O'Donnell was playing himself. His football and IQ is off the charts. You know, you've game changers like Ward and Kelly in the squad. You'd like to see Slogger kicking on. You know, as soon as he went back into that number six, he sort of made it his own come the end of the season. And then, like, Hoban record, he's going for the record, isn't he? Like, hopefully he's
he's
hungry, ready to go. And then, like, the two additions then, Doyle and Martin, like, double figures with Waterford last year on a struggling team. I know they hit their patches as well, but, and then McMillan gives you so much as well, as closing down his work rate. So you've loads of options, and hopefully we can add, I don't know if the goalkeeper's done yet, but if we can get him in, look, he looks to have the pedigree there. He's Welsh under 21 international. He's his captain for the Brentford B side a couple of times as well. So look, it looks promising. Hopefully we can add the two or three more, maybe a rifle. I don't know if he's gonna go with Mountney rifle, but.
They're talking about Mark Conley coming in as well, isn't there?
Mark Conley as well.
That's a big signing.
He's so experienced and
is Mark Conley only 30, by the way?
I think he's 30, 31,
something like that.
He's a fair bit of experience in Scotland and stuff for
well, I'm surprised his name came up. I mean, like, he's an established footballer in Scotland. You know, I think I forgot he played for Kilmarnock, but Dundee United would be well known for playing for him. He's on loan I can't even remember. Good footballer. I didn't actually realise he's from Monaghan.
He was Dundee captain, wasn't he?
Is he predominantly right full? Or is he centre half?
I think he's a centre half.
I thought he was a centre half himself. Yeah. I wasn't 100% sure. I think I'd like a right full. I know Mountney has been playing there for Pats. And Bone can fill in there as well. I think did he play there in the cup final?
I think if you look at O'Donnell's squad, there's a lot of utility men who can fill in several positions, and I think that seems to be something he's going for, isn't it? You know, you're not pigeonholed into somebody who's just specific to that one role. They can play. I'm thinking of Bone can move into centre, can go out wide. You know, you look at Kelly played up top, you know, at the end of the season nearly a few times, Martin the same. So you've got, there's loads of interchange between a lot of those players, which I like. Galley, if you were O'Kane and Mayoa now, having a coach like Stevie O'Donnell, it probably gives you a sense of hope now that last year you were probably struggling to get opportunities. But if you look at the calibre of player that O'Donnell was bringing in, like he gave players, young players, a chance, didn't he, at Pats?
Exactly, yeah. And you look at, like, even just, you take this week alone, the young Alfie Lewis going over, you know, I'm not saying you found him, but I mean, like, you know, players, young players from Pats getting a chance to crack across the water. And, like, I kind of expected big things were okay last year. I don't know, when Vinny came in, he didn't fancy him, not really sure. He didn't play enough for me. I thought he showed real promise at the start of the season. But I think definitely if he was ever going to get a chance, because I don't think we're going to sign too many, what's the word for it, top quality footballers now. I think there's maybe one or two out there to get, but now we're going to be relying on the likes of O'Kane and stuff like that to kind of come in and not pick up the slack, but add a little bit to it, add a little bit of youth to it. So I think, I mean, and what better way to learn? Like, for me, Ryan O'Kane out on the left, I actually think he's better in the middle, but to have Keith Ward playing there with him as well, I mean, someone that's similar outlet, similar player, to learn off someone like that. I mean, we spoke with Keith Ward when he played us last year. You know, complaining probably most teams in the league. You know, it's a surprise signing, even with Keith Ward. But for O'Kane to learn off someone like him, you know, and then you've still got Garth and Boyle for Anima soon at the back as well to learn off that. It's quality. Like Steph says, it's just the goalkeeper now that probably needs sorting and a right back, maybe. You know, more will come, but that's, you know, the goalkeeper, we need, you know, Cherry's been signed, but we don't know whether he's going to be the number one or we're not really sure. But these, the two lads, the young lads can definitely benefit off the squad. I mean, like I said, we've 7 or 8 league winners already in the team. You know, so it's a massive chance for him, a massive chance. I hope he takes it. I hope O'Kane in particular takes it. I think he's going to be a quality footballer. So I'm hoping, I think Stevie will get the best out of him. You know, he's a young age, so it's a powerful time for both, I think.
Donal, like, we were mentioning one or two to come in. What are positions that's kind of jumping out to you? Do you think we just still need some bodies in there? I mean, we're probably looking at a 20 plus man squad, I assume. Without Europe, you probably still need that, wouldn't you?
Just going to say, yeah, that's the thing to take into account, that we'll have a shorter season than we're used to. Because why don't we have a League Cup? Is there a League Cup this year? I don't think there is.
No, not again, no. We'll just have no Leinster Cup either, so.
Yeah, obviously it hasn't happened to us, but you could go out of the Cup in one game. So you're looking at like an incredibly short season compared to what we're used to. And I wouldn't expect too many more in. Obviously a goalkeeper, and then say like you'd obviously want a third keeper in case of emergencies, a right back, like Steph said. I think don't know what Mountney's fitness is like coming back from his injury from last season, because it was a pretty bad injury that he got.
Mm-hmm.
But then like you look at that midfield and say Hooban's up front and Kelly is on one side and John Martin's the other side. You're looking at three of those midfielders then, and we have four there. So there's not going to be that much room for extra players, you know? Like, we'll say Sloggett, Doyle and Benson start the game, and you can bring Keith Ward off the bench. Like, without having the extra games, he might not be looking for too many more. It might just be one or two, like, say, maybe another winger, one that can play either side.
Either side, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that you can just change it around. If we're short someone on the left, he goes there. If we're short someone on the right, he goes right. But the right back thing is the one I think that stands out the most to me. I'm also looking forward to seeing. Gavin mentioned Darragh Leahy and Greg Sloggett that like to properly kick on this season, because it's been a bit chaotic since they've come in, and if Darragh Leahy's the first choice left back to start like minute one of the season as the starting left back and in a system that will make sense for him, I'm looking forward to see how he does. I'd imagine he's going to kick on again and get back to the form that he had at Bowes before he signed for us. But like, I can't see too many more. I don't think there's a need for too many more for this season. They just need, if they can keep everybody fit, that's a quality squad as it is. And then you just throw in one or two more, and then I think we're on business.
Bingo, for yourself, do you think maybe just a bit of a utility man to alleviate Benson from time to time, you think would that be needed?
Yeah, look, especially on the AstroTurf, you know, that's been the root of a lot of injuries. And look, we're not going to go into a full podcast on the AstroTurf again. We've done about four specials on that last year. But I think we've six defenders there, one more in there, hopefully one or two more in there, maybe someone in a role that maybe they could play at the back line, they could play a defensive midfielder if needed, they could jump in there, you know, like Sean Hoare used to do. If we got, sorry, another one of he who shall not be named. and then another midfielder and a keeper, you know, I think after that your squad's kind of more or less sorted, isn't it? I'd fill it up with a couple more youths, but I just following on from what everybody says, I mean, I'd like to see O'Kane get a chance this year, but I'd like to see him take his chance as well. You know, he didn't get a lot of opportunities last year, but after how we've seen him in the preseason friendly against Bowes, where he ran the show, any chance he got after that, he didn't really take it, and it was a little bit disappointing, you know. And there ended up being two out of three managers last year, or three out of four managers didn't really fancy him in the season. So it's really this season under O'Donnell might be a fresh start for him, and might be exactly what he needs. But you'd just be hopeful that he's going to take that opportunity if and when he does get it.
Yeah, and like, do you expect any more to come in from Pats, or do you think if we exhausted Pats now, like,
do all the Pats fans kicking off the
Facebook? Brian Caron.
Yeah, get Brian Caron a job and like get him on the board or something. It'd be great crack.
Yeah, look, the Pats thing it's scandalous, isn't it? The whole situation with them and the giving out they're doing. You can understand the frustrations that they've got, but for me, they're giving out about how unprofessional apparently Stevie O'Donnell's been, they hired a manager but didn't call him a manager until 2 weeks after and announced him as a manager 2 weeks after he went in, which for me, if I'm Tim Clancy, and he's probably not even thinking like this, but that completely undermines his position from day one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, because Stevie O'Donnell is in a similar situation that he's in a similar situation that Filippo was in and that Vinny was in when Vinny took the role, where he doesn't have the licensing to be named as the manager. Why couldn't they just name Tim Clancy as the manager and just let that be that? You know, so for me, this whole situation has actually made Pat's look worse than anything. If you actually take a deep look at it, you know, and just I just think it's a disgrace of how they treated Tim Clancy. And I can say that now that he's not Drogs manager anymore, you know, I can actually say it. I feel sorry for him. Yeah.
Are Drogheda and St. Pat's not connected now? Are they not like...
I think they're brothers now.
Their logo is going to be two players shaking hands.
Professionalism.
They're going to be gentlemanly football clubs.
But I think, you know, anybody that knows Stevie O'Donnell as well, like that situation... heard him. Me and Steph actually saw him the night at the PFAI Awards when the statement was released, and you could tell, and Steph, you'd probably back me up on this, you could tell that he was a nervous wreck nearly putting that out, wasn't he? We'll not talk about what condition he was in on a night like that, but you could tell like he maybe was trying to hide how he was really feeling or hide the nerves, but he is a professional, you know, any club he's been at, they'd tell you that. And I think it's a disgrace for him to be dragged through what he's being dragged through now. And I think it's all been done purposely, you know.
Yeah.
I was waiting to see how long it'd take him to bring up that he was at the awards night.
Yeah. I would have mentioned you as well, mate.
I thought the picture with Stephen Keddy would have been your new backdrop.
Cardboard cutout.
I was waiting to see how long it would take Gally to say that we weren't at it, that we were like, there was this two years there, and like, oh yeah, you were at the awards now, weren't you?
Yeah, look, I think Maddie Smith could be one that's sort of on the radar as well from Pats. Like, I know, like, we've taken a few off them, but some of them were ours anyway. We just were taking them back.
They were just resting in their account before we moved them back. I like it.
Yeah, exactly. So look, I think Matty Smith would be an, like you said, he probably can play off both wings. He's exciting. He looks like a real athlete as well. So look, he'd be one. And then I think we probably need a centre mid who's more of an attacking option. I think Wardy's been brought in to sort of bolster the squad. I don't think he's going to start every game.
Yeah.
I think he's going to be a game changer. Like some of the boys said, he's going to be bring him off the bench and he'll make a difference in games.
He's got that set piece too as well, delivery, hasn't he? That's going to be a really good weapon for us for next year.
Yeah. And look, everyone, he seems to be one of the most liked players in the league. So look, he'll do wonders for the morale in the squad as much as anything else, you know, bring everyone together. Sometimes, you know, when you go into a new team and there's a lot of new players together, everyone's sort of quiet, but like the likes of him, he'll just kind of light the place up and everyone will be laughing at him as well, as much as the jokes he's telling and everything else. Like, so, you know, he's a good addition to bring in there. I just think we just need probably the rifle, an established rifle, and then centre mid and Maddie Smith as well. Like, I think we do have the options up front now. So look, let's see what the next couple of days or weeks bring us.
Yeah, I think, and I look, it's also set up nicely because I think, you know, although Gavin's talking about, you know, we'll have a bit of pre-season and we'll have the Malone Cup and that, you know, it's mouth-watering when you see a certain club, Derry being that club, with the picture of their new sign-ins, you're looking going Patching, Dumigan, you know, Duffy, Fats, you're going, ah, it's heartbreaking. And then you're thinking, hang on a second, this is going to be just so tasty, isn't it? Opening day of the season, they're all back. It's, you know,
like Gab said,
we moan all the season that they're leaving, and then their first game, they're back. What's the chances?
Like the only game, like I think Steph said in the comments, the only game, in the group we have, like the only game that could have been better was Pat's. Yeah. That probably would have been a riot. So you're probably better off not having that game at the start. Like the Derry game, and I'm talking Derry generally, they're generally good games. And it's going to be like it's going to be electric. I just hope we, like Gav was saying, I just hope we can get up to it. I just hope we're fans are allowed in.
I think we actually have the opening fixtures. I think I can pull them up. There we have it. Flying tonight in this, Bingo. See, press the right buttons. Look what happens.
Jesus.
You missed this at the start, Steph.
Season.
It's a good start as well. First three matches, like, you know, and the Finn Harps, I know, look, at Finn Harps are Finn Harps, but if they get off the half the start we got last year, like, geez, we're flying. Top of Champions League football after five games last year. it's like the Derry game, it's just going to be an absolute cracker. Like, what a game to start the season. But, like, it's going to be, to get a home draw anyway against anybody's great, but that kind of game, and if the boys are all fit and playing, like, it's going to be, especially if you turn them over, it's going to be, yeah. And Higgins, the management thing as well, we said at the last podcast as well, the management thing in the league now, it's all young, you know, hungry managers. Like, you know, you've got Higgins who came from the Kenny era. You've got Tim Clancy. You've got O'Donnell that came from the Kenny era as well. You know, it's going to be cracking. Stephen Bradley's, I think he's, what, mid-30s? Is he the same age as Stephen O'Donnell? You know, it's got everything for a good season. But what a way to start it. I don't care who Rose have. I don't know who they have the first game, but I don't care.
Also, like, the last game is away to Derry. Now, it might change because of cancellations or cup games or whatever, but...
just to bookend it.
Yeah, just that.
Perfect.
One of us could be knocking the other one off whatever position we're trying to finish in or whatever, like it was last season. So then it's a nice bookend. Yeah, you're right.
We'll probably have the league title wrapped up by then anyway. So
that's the plan.
After the predictions around this time last year, we're definitely not doing that again.
I was actually going over that in my head earlier on. I was like, what was I thinking?
I'd like you to pull them back up. I think I said 6 at the start. We'll dig that video out during the week, lads.
Yeah. We'll clip that one up, I think. Donald, you're lucky you weren't around for that, but you're a goose for this season. Donald, just when you look at March, we've only at the moment got one home game in there, so it's kind of important we take out something on the road there. But when you look at Drogs away, I suppose it's not, you're not traveling too far or anything like that, but it's a it looks like we're gonna have to pick up a fair bit on the road fairly quickly to make sure we got points on the board, won't we?
Yeah, and we were talking about it already, about the patience that's going to take from everybody, like from ourselves on these podcasts and and everybody connected to it, that like we might not get off to a flyer, like we might lose a couple of those games. That we won't lose a home to Derry, that's a given, but there might be a few bumps in the road, like Gavin was saying that as well, and it's important that we don't go into this thinking like if we lose two games in, you know, beginning of March, that the sky's falling. You know, this is a long process. I think Pinky, you said this in the beginning, just about stability. The building on this season, getting the foundations ready this season, seeing how far we can go. Like, we're not going to, we wouldn't say no to like a title race, you know? But,
Sixth of January.
But yeah, like, at the start of the season, like, you get crazy results as well and crazy performances. Yeah. Like, Gally was saying that Finn Harps last season went on a tear and beat us in Oriel and all sorts. So,
yeah,
you don't know what way any of those games are going to turn out. But you have, once you get to May, then you're like, right, where are we? How, like, what sort of a season are we going to have? We'll know a bit more then. I know that's crazy to look at like 3 months into the season, that like you kind of figure out where we're going then. But
you're probably two rounds of games in probably at that stage, and it starts to settle, doesn't it?
Yeah. Like, it's, I'd imagine there's going to be like some of the, like ourselves and Derry and Pats and like Bowes and Sligo, like just
half
hardly going to be too much between a lot of those teams, you know, and I'm not mentioning the other lads, but they might not be as good. I don't know how they're going to fit all of those massive egos into their team next season, those lads to play in Dublin. So we'll see what happens with them.
17 centimetres.
Oh, attacking centimetres.
Yeah, wow.
I don't know if yeah. No, we'll see. We'll see.
Pingu, from yourself, where realistically, what would be a happy season for you?
If we do well in the cup, get a European spot, I think I'd be happy enough with that. There, maybe I'm being optimistic, but I don't know. I mean, when we went to Stephen Kenny's first year, we didn't really expect too much, and we finished second in the league and got to a cup semi final. So if that can be emulated, I mean, we'd be delighted, wouldn't we? But I think, look, if we got third or fourth spot, I'd be very, very happy. And
oh, that's him done.
It's a fair point, wasn't it?
How's he holding his face like that for so long?
Bye. We didn't think you had a conclusion to that, so you just froze yourself and hoped that we'd just continue on talking.
I liked him better when he was quiet.
Steph, from yourself, is it something similar? You'd be happy enough with that sort of a season?
I think slightly better than that. Well, I think it all hinges on the next two, three.
Well, there he's gone.
Am I gone?
You're back now.
I'm back. No, look, I think the sky's the limit here. I think if we can add the two or three, I think it's important the next two or three signings we make. But I think, like, Rovers weren't the best last year, and then it all depends on keeping everyone happy within the squad. So they're obviously the team to catch, and they still will be. But look, Derry are bringing in a load of new players. They're going to have a starting from afresh again. They are quality players, but I don't see why they'll be a million miles ahead of us. The same with Pats will have to bring in a load of new players as well, and then who else? You have Sligo, were always hit and miss for me. Like, they'll go through patches where they'll win games easily, and then they'll go on an awful run. So I know they finished third last season, but I think, look, top three definitely anyway, and then win the cup.
Is the League Cup back this year?
No.
It's gone, is it?
Yeah, it's gone again this year.
Disgrace.
Gally, is it European spot there? Is it within grasp, do you think?
That would have to be the aim. I mean, like, I know you don't want to start getting too kind of, what's the word? Well, optimistic is probably the easiest way of putting it, but I mean, that's what you got to be aiming for. That's the minimum. I mean, yeah, look, like Pingu and Steph said, cup final be great as well. But I mean, I trade a cup final for a European spot. I mean, that's, I know trophies are great, but I mean, at the end of the day, getting into Europe attracts better players. You know, that's.
But if you win the cup, you get into Europe.
Oh, I'm just going to say it, Steph. You know, just
what I'm saying is, if you can go on a run, like the chance of us winning the cup is highly unlikely, because that squad that Derry have put together, like, Derry have nearly two teams that could play. Like, I think for me, Derry are the team to beat. I don't think Rovers, I actually think we split Rovers and Derry in the league. Us, or maybe, depends on Tim Clancy, Pats can put together. Steve O'Donnell, Pats may be different, but I think Derry are the team to watch. Derry, for me, will win the league if we don't. No, I think top four will be great. But I don't see Rovers having the season that everybody thinks they're going to have, because they've just simply got too many players. They just won't be, it just won't work. We were in danger of that a couple of years ago when Kenny started signing players, but Kenny had a way of doing things and keeping everybody happy. And I don't think the boys on the bench at Rovers will have that. But I think Higgins will at Derry. And providing they keep them fit, I know the pitch up there is, you know, it's up for debate, but I think they are the team to beat. So I think if we can get European spots, a cup final would be great. But I take it, you know, a good strong season, third minimum, I would think, for me. I don't see us winning the league. I mean, I don't. I said last year at the President's Cup, we won't win the league because we played Rovers off the park that night. We didn't even. If we'd have played 60 games in the league, we still wouldn't have got the points for it. We won't be winning leagues. That's what I
think. Good man, Rovers.
But I don't know if that squad. like man for man, I think it's very hard to beat Derry's squad at the minute. Like, I mean, Cameron Dumigan alone is a massive loss for us. It was massive.
Cameron Dumigan win the league by himself.
By himself, yeah. But I do think, like we're raving here, like Patchy, Duffy, McElhenney, those three alone. Like, Brent, they've added Brand McCavin as well. I mean, such a tough squad to deal with.
Where did Dumigan, Duffy and McElhenney and Patching finish last season?
What was the question, Dolan?
Where did all those world beaters finish last season?
Yeah, but when
Duffy was on the bench.
The groin strain. The groin strain will be back. Right, yeah.
Once they keep them fit, I think that's the team. They're the team to beat. So for us, European spot would be, that's the best I think we can hope for. I can't see any higher than that. Just not with the squad. I just don't think we have the amount of players we need. Now, like, I know I don't raise a good point earlier on as well, that we've less games. But, you know, on the pitch, like Pinky was saying, on that pitch, you know, players' injuries, we've got players who picked up knocks before. European spot would be at best for me. I can't see any higher than that. And we won't win the cup, lads. I do apologise. We won't win the cup. I just think other teams have too many players.
We won't it's have in around third, like that's all achievable. That third position, it's probably Bowes or Shells is all up for grabs on that.
Yeah.
Tables have turned drastically. Last season, Galley was predicting a league win. Now he's hoping to get into the top three, and now it's upside down. I'm saying we're gonna really challenge for the league and not be
we need a lot of luck. Look, you need luck in everything, I suppose, but we need a lot of luck, players, fitness, player. Because
you need to be more lucky in a cup though than a league run.
Yeah, but a cup. Yeah, well, I mean, anybody can beat anybody in the cup, but
exactly
to maintain it over a season, you have to have players fit. Like we won't have 22 top players this season. It just won't happen. Like we're at 16 at the minute. If we add three more that could play in the 11, I'd be surprised. You know, we're probably relying on the likes of young O'Kane there as well. Now, look at these boys who come to the fore and be absolutely top class. But, you know, if you're asking me where I think, you know, I don't think we win in leagues. I don't think we're going to be, I think we'll a good few points off it as well. I think the league will actually be over maybe three or four games to go. And I think it'll be between Derry.
Should we be looking then, though, at like the loan market just to
probably
get a couple of more numbers in? Maybe
that's the advantage. Yeah, that's the advantage of Stevie's knowledge as well. Stevie's obviously brought in the goalkeeper from last year from Liverpool, so he obviously has a bit of scope there. And with Stat Sports as well, is there a more in the know company from Stat Sports? I mean, they're probably not a better scouting system on the planet than Stat Sports, you know. So, yeah, I think that's what we're going to be relying on maybe coming over, like we've seen with the goalkeeper. But look at the stranger things have happened, but I'd be comfortable enough in saying I don't think we'll be winning any league title this season. Season after next, please.
Galley's going for that, playing us down, lads. I like it. There's a wink in that eye. We're not going to win anything. I get it. I see what you've done this year. Last year, we were all optimistic. Then it hurt a lot.
Optimistic. You have to be optimistic, but not. You can't be stupid either.
Stupid.
Well, if you're nailing, we're going to win the league.
I didn't. I don't think anybody said we're nailed on to win the league now, but
there's a simple line. Like, just for Frank, the Rovers Rovers have probably had the league handed to them. I know that's not probably very fair on what they've done, but teams have played really poor around them. You know, for them to win the league, like everybody was in top form with Dundalk winning leagues. You know, so I just think that I think they'll come a cropper this year. I don't think they'll do what people think they're expected to. I just think Derry are the team to watch. I think Higgins has just done, I think he's put a cracking squad together.
Well, on that note, do we talk so much about Derry? I think we'll wrap up.
I'm explaining my reason why we won't win the league.
You're grand. I'd like to thank you, lads, just for being here tonight. Again, thanks to Gavin for popping in and getting a good insight into a turbulent time, I think, in Oriel Park. You know, it was good just to get a bit of knowledge from inside the camp, what it was like, and you know, and how optimistic I suppose everyone is in around Oriel Park right now. It's great vibes coming out, and you know, it's great to see that he's getting out, feeling off the players too. I'm sure we'll no doubt be. Are we back for another one before the season starts, lads? Are we going to nail these predictions?
Pre-season matches, probably do them collectively, wouldn't we, I would say?
I think after the squad's nailed down, I think we can just make up FAM predictions then.
That's it then. Gally will have a big mood board all set up with where Derry and Shamrock Rovers are and strings attached to everyone. I'm loving it.
Pinpoint out when you got PL. How it's going to work for Derry.
Yeah, exactly. So it's all coming up, Derry. And on that note, look, thanks everybody for tuning in. Like I say, no doubt whenever the squad is a little bit more firm together and we know a little bit more about how we're playing, we'll be back more to talk about Derry.
And the pizzas. The pizzas are back for this year as well.
Is this confirmed now?
That's exclusive.
Exclusive. Finney just gave the okay earlier, so pizzas are back for this year's Man the Match. I think I just won the first one, did I? Darren Meenan just voted me Man the Match.
We have to pick.
Yeah.
If we're giving
away
one
today,
I think Gavin
deserves it for last year's one. Cameo like Wardy. Change the game.
Right. Steph, I'll leave you with the final word and you can put your pizzas into it in some way.
No, I was going to sing about a saxophone slug, but I think we'll just leave my singing out of it for now. Have to practice.
Nice. So until the pizzas, thanks everybody.